Well, what the heck was that? That was the sound of Butler University MBA students learning about leadership through music at the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra. And that is the subject of our very first edition of the IBJ podcast. My name is Mason King. I'm a news editor for the Indianapolis Business Journal, and we'll get back to our business students slash musicians in a moment. First, a few words of explanation. Again, this is the launch of the IBJ podcast. It's a weekly podcast that will be available every Monday morning. And the mission here is to illuminate, or sound out, if you will, issues and events that are covered in IBJ's weekly flagship print edition. But we're going to approach them from slightly different perspectives to give you a deeper understanding and hopefully entertain you and surprise you along the way. Now, I'm especially excited because this week's paper is our annual innovation issue in which we explore new technologies and strategies for improving our lives and making the world work. It's also about finding unusual ways to gain insight, and that takes us to the Hilbert Circle Theater, home of the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra, where a couple dozen Butler MBA students, most of which with no musical training whatsoever, are about to be asked to create several ensemble works of music. Now, the first person you hear is Beth Perdue Outland, the symphony's Vice President of Community Engagement and Strategic Innovation.
All right, we can. Well, welcome, everyone. Really glad you've chosen to spend your afternoon with us today. We are super excited to have you here at our Art of Leadership Workshop event. We are here to talk about the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra and the elements of leadership it takes to make an ensemble of this type and size really work together. So today we're going to talk a lot about the workforce. And when we say workforce today, we're going to be talking about those musicians that you see on stage when you come to a concert. But the reason I'm telling you this is because I want you now to think about the leader, the person who has to help this workforce transcend the ego and the training and the interpersonal stuff and the nonsense and the longevity, and has to get this body of people to achieve the same vision in the very same moment in public. So imagine you're that leader. What are the things you have to exercise?
Now, a quick word of explanation. The Art of Leadership is not just for business students. The Symphony offers it 8 or 10 times a year to business classes, the Symphony sponsors, and any organization that wants a different take on leadership. And the Art of Leadership did not originate with the Symphony before it debuted about a decade ago, and instead answered the needs of a few different organizations, coalescing into an initial idea in the mind of Jerry Toomer, who teaches at Butler.
So my longer career history was as the Vice President of Human Resources for Dow AgroSciences. So in that role, we were a joint venture of Dow and Eli Lilly. So I got to know a fair number of Lilly people, and I was, as I retired from Dow, I also was teaching in the MBA program. So I had the business relationship with Lilly, I had some students from Lilly in my MBA program, and we started saying, what would an advanced leadership program look like that was very experiential? And where we would do a business visit, kind of the traditional strategy, leadership, metrics kind of thing, but we'd also do something out of the box. And we'd take people on stage, and we'd talk to musicians, and we'd do something like a percussion circle, and we'd talk. So that was the genesis of this. So then it was the brilliance of Beth Perdue Outland and Tom Ramsey together with us to say, what would this look like?
And here's Beth in a conversation we had a little bit later to pick up the thread.
And then, frankly, I came back to the musicians. I sat and drafted things I thought made sense from a musical perspective, but I'm not a musician myself. And so I sat down with Rick Graff in the horn section and some other musicians, and I said, here are the concepts that we would like to illuminate in a musical way. Do you think that there are authentic ways you could relay these to someone who is not a musician? And they just started saying, oh, yeah.
Now, when we talk about leadership in an orchestra, we're usually talking about a conductor. The ISO has two principal baton men, Christoph Urbanski, the music director and essentially the organization's artistic CEO, and Jack Everly, the principal conductor of the Pop series. Now, we're going to hear a funny story about him in a second. But for the leadership session today, we have as conductor David Armstrong, the director of audience services and events. And here he is explaining why you need a conductor when all the music is already written down on the page.
If you guys have seen music, there's notations that says, you know, play louder here, play softer, play faster, slower, the notes. But within that, there's so much variation from conductor to conductor, and like their individual vision of how they want to achieve things, how they want it to sound and feel is so important for the orchestra to have that information, but also to have it in a way that they understand.
Now here's Beth again, and she's beginning to touch on concepts you could apply to any work situation.
Now, there are a couple of other things that are really super critical. One is they have to respect the experience of the workforce. Like I said, you got somebody who's been doing this 30, 40, 45 years. The last thing they need from a leader is to tell them how to play their instrument. And nothing will turn off a musician faster than that conductor comes in and wants to tell them how to play their instrument. What that conductor needs to do is to collaborate with the musician in order to achieve the objective that they want. The other thing is, no matter how good your workforce is and no matter how professional and how well trained, mistakes happen, and they happen every day. Now, we have seen a difference in how the conductors correct or address those mistakes. First of all, a conductor who does not address a mistake at all is typically seen as either too dumb to recognize it or too weak to deal with it. And so it is important, if a mistake is happening and it's happening over and over, that the leader addresses it. How they do it is really interesting. I have seen it done really badly. A conductor who stopped them and said, "You all sound like you're moving a house." Well, what does that even mean? Like, how do we sound like we're not moving a house? What do you want? It's like not clear and not helpful. One of my favorite Jack moments.
Here's a story about Jack Everly.
I had a group band and we were listening to a Motown rehearsal, right? Now, the brass particularly love the Motown because they get to really blow it out, which they don't always get to do. So they were just, you know. And Jack stopped the orchestra and said, "Trombone friends, I need your help. We are lucky enough to have a really live acoustic here, and in order to achieve balance, I need you to soften up." It was beautiful. He could have legitimately said, "Hey, trombones, not all about you, back off." And he would have been right. But instead, he took a much more thoughtful approach. "Trombone friends, establish relationship. I need your help. We're in this together. We have a really live acoustic situation analysis. In order to achieve balance, this is our goal, I need you to soften up. There's the ask." It took no more time than being snarky, and it totally secured their cooperation. I find him to be brilliant at this idea of correcting mistakes in a way that is positive, sets the objective, and keeps in the mindset of what Jack tells me, which is, I am always thinking as a leader, like, yes, I have the vision, and my goal is to communicate that, and then the rest of my job is to say, what do they need from me now? What do they need from me now? What do they need from me now?
Okay, so now we get to the main event. The participants are going to start playing music.
Styles, and that's what we're going to do next. So either under your chair or behind your chair, you have an instrument. So I want everyone to go ahead and pull those instruments.
You are going to be the ensemble now, and David is going to act as our conductor.
All right. So the first thing we're going to do is in 5 minutes, we will play as a tight ensemble. So in order to do this, we are just going to play one note and one note only. One, two, three, four. That one more time, but louder this time, all right? One, two, three, four. Okay. What I'd like to do now is play 4 notes instead of one. Same pattern as the rhythm, just 1, 2, 3, 4, all right? 1, 2, 3. So I'll count to 4.
Okay, now this goes on for a little bit, and then there's a surprise.
4.
David, I think we could use a little more bell. I think it sounds a little out of balance.
Bell is just fine, but I think. All right, go back. It's just 8 notes, same pattern, sorry for the distraction. Same thing again, 16 notes. 1, 2, 3, 4.
So what happened in order to make that possible?
We got direction.
You got direction? What kind of direction? What did the direction look like?
Very clear and specific.
Very clear and specific directions?
Feedback.
I'm sorry, what?
Feedback.
Feedback? What kind of feedback?
We're playing more notes than we're supposed to.
before I do the next round?
Mm-hmm. He shut you down.
Yes, he did. Yes. So that's interesting. So did he accept feedback that was offered?
No.
No. Did he solicit feedback from anyone else?
No.
Did he ask you how you were doing or what you needed?
No.
No. So what was the communication like?
It's a very
one-way communication.
All right, so this next example, we're going to make music together. There's no timeline. I won't be watching the clock. But we're going to make music together, and we're going to do this in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different parts. So in order to keep everything together, we are going to lean on this bass drum. All right, so you're going to be our foundation. And what you're going to do is play just a nice, steady beat. So just like this. Yep. And a little bit louder. So that is the foundation for what we're going to do, okay? So the first group are these tabatos, so the drums that are they're kind of in front of you, all right? And then once you get comfortable with it, I want you to jump in, all right? So your right hand's going to be in the center, your left hand's going to be on the outside, and again, I'll start and just jump in. So your pattern's going to go.
Okay, we're going to jump ahead to the point where all five groups are playing their parts together.
All right. All right, so great. How do you feel about your musical outcomes? Good? So what are some of the things that David did to lead you through this process that was different than the first example?
He played on the instruments as well.
Ah, so he modeled on the instrument what he expected. What else? Yes. Yeah.
He acknowledged that this wasn't as easy as it.
This is the guy who was playing the bass drum.
And that's important, you know, and we think about this in these exercises, we think about the bass drum as the mission statement, right? And the mission statement has to be steady and unwavering, right? And you may vary around the mission statement, but it has to align. As soon as you're starting doing things that's off the beat of the mission statement, you lose track of your ensemble and you're not making music at all, right?
Okay, so we've had two different leadership models so far. The first one obviously was very authoritarian, while the second one was a much more benevolent sort of teaching model. Now for the third one, David's gonna throw a curveball.
This time, I would like for you to play whatever you want, okay? But it needs to be within the framework of this bass drum, all right? So whatever you'd like to play. All right, so go ahead and start with that steady beat.
Okay, so they're getting off to a rough start. It's a little disjointed. We'll fast forward to the end.
All right. So we're gonna do this one more time with one bit of feedback. There's so much going on. So with drumming, a lot of times, it's not as much about what you're playing, it's a lot of cases about what you're not playing, right? So like if you're in a drum circle, which I know you guys just hang out on the weekends and hang on from the drums, but if you were, it's really hard if you sit down next to this guy and just like... There's no room left. There's not much to contribute because so much is happening.
That's the guy who won't shut up in a meeting, right?
Yeah, it's that guy.
Okay, so they try again, and this one goes much better.
Wow, okay, how do you feel about your musical outcome?
Way better.
Way better?
Way better.
That's okay, that's so interesting. I see lots and lots of smiles and nodding this time. So tell me, why do you feel way better?
You had more room to be creative while still having an objective.
Yeah, more room to be creative. You can do your own thing. Absolutely, a lot of permission there. Yeah.
I think that was the first time that we actually all finished when he ended.
He's an interesting. That with a less defined process here, you actually finished it. Why do you think that might be?
You're confident in what you're doing, I think.
That's interesting. So you felt confident with the least instruction and the least like structure?
Yeah, because I got to make up my own little sound and it was, you know, not so focused in am I going to hit the wrong bell at the wrong time. I was just doing my own thing.
Excellent. All right. So here's one of the things I'd like for you just to think about. In whatever teams you're leading or whatever teams you're a part of, you have all three of these kinds of people in your team. You'll find people who prefer each of these different styles, and that is the challenge of leadership.
So that's just the first part of the program. There's a lot more that goes on, including an extended session on stage with the ISO musicians as they play and explain how they interact as a team. And afterward, I spoke with Allison Gustin, a Butler MBA student who also works part-time for the Butler Business Consulting Group in the marketing division, about what she took away from that first session.
So when we were in that session and we had the three different types of leadership, I was struck by how much more comfortable I was when I was not given direction and essentially given autonomy. And that's something that I've been told is important to me, but not something that I have readily acknowledged. Yes, that's critical for me. But being able to sit there and experience the three leadership types, one right after the other, I mean, I physically felt less anxiety in the third one. And so now I can take that away and I can say, okay, this really is important to me.
Is this easily applicable? Or you really
absolutely
have to think about it?
I'm going to actually, I already had this thought. I'm going to take it back to people I work with and say, hey, this was my experience and how I felt, and try to figure out that, okay, while I work well in autonomy, other people who I work with may not. And so how can we create boundaries for one another that's healthy, that enables me to work my best and them to work their best as well?
Beth says these aha moments are the real value for the participants, while the program itself presents a lot of value for the symphony.
The thing I love about doing this is I see everyone have different aha moments throughout it. That like, oh, we were just talking about something like this at work yesterday. Oh, that's a problem I have. Oh, I'd never thought about it that way before. So people are going to have their own experience.
It occurs to me that there could be really a tremendous value to the orchestra of doing this.
Oh, yeah. To me, the most biggest value of it is that it enables people to have a different access point into what we do. That might capture someone's attention and imagination that doesn't necessarily see themselves as a symphony person or a music person. So it provides a new on-ramp. It makes people think about buying a ticket who would not ever have imagined buying a ticket. It makes people who are already engaged with us as ticket buyers think about the value of the symphony in the city, and maybe they become donors or they amp up their donations. I've seen that happen.
So you said the rack rate was like 8,000. That's just a general...
That is the sort of retail rate for the set of experiences you had today.
Okay. So if you had eight of those in a year, that would be $64,000-ish. Mm-hmm. Okay. So not a giant revenue stream.
No, it's not. It's not. But it's an activity that it pays for itself. And it has these other benefits. I mean, frankly, our largest client is Lilly, and they are our largest corporate sponsor. You know, so it's another way to be of benefit to them and develop a relationship with more people within that company. It also helps us to communicate with up-and-coming leaders about our organization. So people are going to fulfill leadership positions within these corporations that they know about the symphony. And like our development team will tell you that they occasionally will get a phone call when they're, you know, calling a donor or something, and they're like, oh yeah, I went to that thing, and they raise their donation. So hooray. So it has those benefits. It's just, honestly, there's just not really a downside.
All right. Well, you can read more about this session with the symphony in this week's edition of IBJ, which again is our fourth annual innovation issue. And there you'll see a dozen stories about emerging technologies like blockchain or cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, and even things like virtual reality, which of course has been around for, you know, at least 20, 30 years. I remember doing stories about it back in the early 1990s. But its applications have evolved in some pretty interesting ways, and ways that are very relevant to business and to training employees. So check it out. You can read all this stuff, of course, at ibj.com. All right. Well, it's Mason King signing off. Hope to see you next week.